Begin the current daven, Sefes B'Metzia Daf Ayin Zayin. Begin on the third line down on the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf regarding the topic of this parak of Basir Chasunin, someone hires workers. Additionally, Rava said a teaching, which he's going to continue on this theme, regarding if someone hires a worker and doesn't need him anymore, what's the halacha, whose, so to speak, mazel is it, who loses out? That's what Rava was teaching regarding if the worker should have known about it, should have not known about it, then that will depend if whose loss is it. So it continues Rava on that theme. Va'amar Rava, Rava says so too. Haiman de Eger aguri ledavlev. Someone hires a worker to water his field. Va'asim mitra, and then it rains, and it waters the field. And now he doesn't need this guy to water the field anymore. Says Rava, b'seid de poilem. So that's the loss of the worker, similar like he said in the previous stuff regarding something that could be expected and should be expected. And if something like that happens, where it was not any fault of the homeowner that it rained, it's the loss of the workers, and now that they can't work, they don't get paid. But asanaru, if let's say the river comes and overflows, which that goes into the different ditches that they had in the field, which from that waters the field, and now he doesn't need anymore this worker to water the field, says Rava, that's pseidu de balabais. That's now the loss of the homeowner, and the reason for that is because the workers don't know the custom and the workings and the mechanics of this guy's field to know that the river overflows and that waters his field. But the homeowner did know. And therefore, since he should have known, the worker should not have known, again, like the previous staff, the Yavlu Kapoya bottle. So therefore, he pays him like an idle worker. He doesn't pay him like a regular worker because he's not working. But at the same time, he's committed and it's no fault of his own. It's not his bad mazel. The owner knew and the worker didn't know. Therefore, he has to pay him. So to another teaching, Vama Rava. Haiman de Oiger Agur Ladav, again, the same type of a case. Someone hires a worker to water his field. Now, Upasig Nara, the river which they would use to water the field, stopped Bepalga de Yema. It just dried up halfway through the day. So, says Rava, Eloi Avid Upasig, if it doesn't usually dry up, then say to the Pilum. It's nothing, it's not like the owner should have known and should have notified the worker. It's something just like rain. It's something beyond his control. And therefore, that's the loss and it's the mazel of the workers. They don't get paid. But if Avid the Pasik, if it usually happens, that's something of very normal occurrence. Now, depends. Ibn a Masa, if the workers are people from the city, so they are aware of this. So say to the pilum, it's their loss. Again, it's something that they should have known and expected. And therefore, if something like that happens, it's their mazel. La Ibn a Masa, but if they are, it's something that usually happens, but they're not people of the city, so they don't know of it, but the owner does know of it, then say the balabais. Then again, that's the loss of the homeowner, because he knew, he should have notified them, and they say, how are we supposed to know that it's going to stop in the middle of the day, now that we can't do our work, we committed to the whole day, and we started doing the work, you have to pay us like a worker. Now, Amar Rava, Rava says so too, Haiman de Agur Agur La Viditav, someone hires a worker to work, a worker for the day. Now they finished the work that he had him to do halfway through the day. So says Rava, if he has work that's easier than what he hired him to do for, then Yavlu, you can give him that type of work. Or even if he has the same type of work, same type equivalent of difficulty of work, so he could have him do that type of work. But the kashim, if the only other work he has is more difficult from the type of work that he hired him to work for that day, and now halfway through the day that job is done, then loy mafkid lahu, then he can't have him work that harder job. And v'nois lem schar, and mishalm, he has to pay him the full type of work, the full pay that he, as if he would have worked the whole day, because you hired me from 9 to 5. And now at 2 o'clock we finished the job, well, what do you want me to do? So you can't give me harder work. If you have easier or the same, then fine. Now the Gemara says, Amai, why does he pay him as if he worked till 5 the whole day? At least let him give him only how much an idle worker does, because from 2 to 5 he's not doing any work. So he has to pay him, but like a worker that, as we said, would rather take a little bit less and do nothing than work more and get paid more. So the Gemara says, you're right, that's how generally it would be. But Kikama Rava, when did Rava say he has to pay him as if he was working? Is Bochlushe de Mechuzah. Mechuzah, which was the city of where Rava was, there were certain people that their jobs were constantly, they were schleppers. They were people that transport, and when they would sit idle, it actually would be harsh for them. Because the Ilay Avdi, if they don't work, how should they get weak? They need to constantly be pounding those muscles, and therefore, those people are not gaining anything. They would not take any money less. To the contrary, they like to work, and therefore, the fact that he has no work for them, it's not their loss, it's his loss, and he has to pay them a full work as if they were working. Now the Gemara goes back, Amar, to the Brice on the previous daf, which was speaking about regarding if they retract in middle of a kablonis job, which is someone is getting paid 2 slaim to either reap the standing grain in the field or to weave a garment. Halfway through the job, the worker says, "I'm done. I can't do this anymore. You promised me 2 slaim for the whole job. I did half the job. Give me a sala." So Omamar, the Tana Kam over there, said, "Shamalehen es masha asu." So we evaluate how much of the work that they did, and that's how much they get paid, proportionate to the work that they did. Kate said, "How so?" So the Brisa there explains, according to Tana Kama, Hayayafa Shisha Dinarim. If let's say they were promised 2 slaim of the whole thing, which means that half of it is a sela, which is 4 dinarim. But let's say now the price of labor went up. And for this owner to get the rest of the job done, he would have to actually pay Shisha Dinarim, 6 dinarim, not 1 sela, not 4 dinarim, but actually 6 dinarim. Says the Tana Kama, still Nuislim Sela, he still has to give the worker, even though the worker backed out, he still has to pay him 4 dinarim a sela, not just 2 dinarim, because he wants to get the job done for 2 slaim. No, he's going to have to pay more, so you have to give him half, which was 4, and then you have to pay 6, which can be a total of 10 dinarim to get the job done. So the Gemara explains, because Kesabri Rabbanan, the Rabbanan hold, meaning the Tana Kama, as we explained in the previous daf, Yad Poyel Ala Yaina. He holds that the worker has the upper hand, and therefore, even though he's retracting, he's not going to take the loss, because actually a worker could retract. The reason for that is because the pasuk says in Vayikra Chafei, Hashem says ki avodayhem, the Jewish people are my slaves, and they're not slaves to slaves. Which this is where the Gemara learns out in the first Perkem Sakskut Kedushin of Chabezim Abeis, that you're not a slave to anybody. You can't be a slave to another person who Hashem says is a slave to me. So therefore, he could back out because I'm not indebted to anyone but Hashem, and therefore, even though he backed out, he still has the upper hand, and he still gets paid proportionate to what he did, even though it's going to be a loss for the owner who has to now pay someone else to finish it off at a higher rate, at a higher quote. Now, then the Tana Kama continued, as our Gemara quotes, or the worker could finish his work, and then he'll get the 2 slaim that they made up before he started doing the job. So the Gemara is pshita. Obviously, when he's going to finish the job, he's going to take the 2 slaim that they made up beforehand. They were just discussing, if he doesn't want to finish, he backs out. That's the machlokes he has with Reb Deisu, they were going to show the quote, how much does he get compensated? But of course he finishes, he gets 2 slaim. What's the Brisa telling us? So the Gemara says, Loit Tzricha. It's talking about a case, Da'yakar Avidita, that now, when they're backing out, actually the price of workers went up. Now, v'im repoilim. Now, the workers are refusing to work. Well, what? We made up to do this job for you. We didn't know that the market price is going to go up for labor so much. We're working below minimum wage for you. Well, we're not working for you anymore. We're going to find new jobs. Now, v'aza balabaisu faisinu. But now the owner goes and he starts begging them and pleading them. Look, we made up. You can do this job. Please come back. Finish the job. Now, so that's what the Gemara says. Madu Tema would have thought to say that since we're saying, according to Tana Kama, that the worker has the upper hand, as we said, he backs out, he still gets what he made, even though the owner is going to have to pay more to finish up the labor. So Matzu Amrle, we would think that they could tell him, look, Kima Faisinon, when you appeased us and you begged us to come back and finish up the job, Adai did the toughest lana agra. It was with the assumption that you're going to add on our rental, meaning that you're going to pay for us more as the market value is right now. Why do you think we're backing out? Because workers are getting paid much more than you signed us up for originally. So we thought when you begged us and we're going to finish the job is that you're going to hire our rate. Kamash Malan, that's the chiddush of the Braisa, that the amalu, that the owner could tell them, I know I begged you and I promised you guys I'm going to take care of you. It didn't mean I'm going to take care of you that I'm going to give you the higher rate now. No, I want you to finish it for the original rate we made up. I don't want to pay more than 2 slaim. It's just that I begged you that I'm going to go through the extra mile for you, that I'm going to give you food and drink. That's what I was saying, but not regarding getting paid more, and therefore, if they finish the job, it has to go according to the original quote. Now, the Braisa continued, the Tana Kama said, but let's say the remaining amount is a sela, meaning to say that it's still the same rate how much a worker is, and the original rate of the whole thing for 2 slaim, which they did half for, he can still get a worker to finish off the other half for just 1 sela. So then the Tana Kama said, it's a nice lem sela. So then he only has to pay them, or he could pay them, a sela. So the Gemara is pshita. It's obvious that if the work that's left is worth a sela, meaning to say, so the work that the original workers did was worth a sela, that he was going to give them what they did, which is the value of a sela. That would be equal to what it is for all parties. So what's the chiddush of the price? So the Gemara says, Lo tzrich, it's necessary in the following case. Dizal avidita me'ikara. That is, originally, when this landowner hired these workers, labor was very cheap. Now, the problem is that these workers didn't want to hire themselves out for the cheap price of what labor was at that time. Usually you can get a laborer for that price. These guys didn't want. So the landowner, or the one who wanted to make the garment, was a little bit desperate. So v'agrinu b'tfei zuzu. So he added on to the normal going rate an extra zuz. Now, when he had made up with them that the whole thing's too slow, meaning that half is going to be a sellout, really, with the going rate was only fit to be 3 dinar, not 4 dinar, meaning a sellout minus a dinar. But he upped it a little bit more than normal so that he can get workers. Now, ulisaif ayakar avidita. Now, later on, at this point in time, at the halfway point, when they want to back out, the price of labor went up. And become betvei zuzah. And now the market value is that every worker would take to do half the job, only a seller. So, and that is what the chiddush of the brisa is, that ma'u detema, we would have thought to say that since according to Rabbanan, this opinion of Tanna Kamma, that the worker has the upper hand, that amri lei, that they could tell him, tvei zuza amrit lan, you told us, you're hiring us to do the work, and you're going to give us another dinner more than everyone else. So tvei zuza havlan, so now, they were backing out, and you're going to pay us, and then you're going to get a worker to do the other half. You have to pay us a zuz more than the going rate. And now the going rate is a dinner more, because now everyone takes a sellah. So don't just pay us a sellah for half. Pay us a sellah plus another dinner, because you promised us you're going to give us more than the going rate. Kamash Malan, Damalu, that's the chiddush of the Tanna Kamma in this case, that the owner could tell them, no, ki amr lechu tvei zuz, when did I promise you a zuz more than the going rate? That was delayhava kimlechu. That was when you didn't know that you're going to be able to take a seller. And by me, I was desperate for workers, and I was able to hire you. I saw that you weren't going to be willing to work less than a seller. So I said, I'll add on a zuz to your how much the going rate was, so that I'll make it up to a seller, and then you'll be willing to work for me. But hashta kimlechu. But now, everybody who would work would want to take a seller the way you originally had wanted. And for that, I did not make up that I'm going to add on anything more. In other words, I was only willing to go up to a seller because I saw that's what you were willing to. I wasn't willing to give a dinner more. I knew that you guys only wanted to work for a little bit more than the norm, and I was willing to pay a seller. So I was willing to up you, but not, I wasn't willing to up you no matter the circumstances. Now that everyone takes a seller, I wouldn't pay you a dinner more, and therefore he only pays them according to what they originally had made up, which was for a seller. Because again, it's not the being more than the value, but rather that it's they're going to be the seller, and therefore they only get a seller. That was the opinion of the Tanna Kamma. Reb Deisaim, he said, like we said in our Mishnah, that shama lehem es masha osed lehi ayes. In such a case, actually, we don't evaluate how much that the worker did who backs that halfway. We evaluate how much is left to be done, and if hayyof ashishu dinar, if let's say the other half to get a worker now is going to cost this owner 6 dinar. Nice lem shekel, then he gives the original workers only a half a seller, only 2 dinar. Because the owner doesn't have to pay more than what the original job was going to cost him. And now that they backed out, it's going to be their loss. And they're going to get only 2, and he's going to give the new worker 6 dinar to finish off the other half. So the Gemara explains, Kesavar, Abdesa holds, Yad Poyel al Tachtayna, the worker, when he backs out, he has the lower hand. Now Abdesa continued, and he says, O Yigmer Malachta, similar to what the Tanna Kamma said, or they could finish their job, and they could take 2 slum. So either they could back out now and get only 2 dinar, or they could finish up the other half and get 8 dinar. So the Gemara's Peshitta, obviously, if they're going to finish up the job, and that's what they had originally stipulated, that's what they're going to get. What's the Chiddush? So the Gemara says, Lo Yitzricha, and this is similar to what we said in the Tanna Kamma, the other way, Dizala Vidita, that actually at this point in time, the price of labor went down. Now, Ve'emer Bala Bais, and now the homeowner, he's refusing to want to pay these guys to have them finish up the job because, hey, I could get labor elsewhere now cheaper. And now the workers go and they appease him and beg him, say, look, we have families to feed. You promised us this job. You can't just back out now halfway. Now, so Ma'ad Atayma, we were thought to say that since Reb Deisa holds, as we just said, that Yad Poil Al Tachtayna, the worker has the lower hand. Now, we would think to say that the reason being is because the homeowner has the upper hand. Now, therefore, here when the workers appease him and beg him, please let us keep the job and finish up the job so we could get paid, that Matzi Amalahu, that the homeowner could tell them, look, you guys begged for the job, Adaita de Batsuisa Lima Agrai, but I was only willing to have you finish up the job, that you would lower for me your rates that you charge, because now I can get cheap labor all over the place. And therefore, actually, he would not have to pay them the two shlom that they made up originally. Kamash Malon, the Amrile, that's the chiddush that the workers could tell him, no, you're right, we appeased you, we begged you, we said, yeah, we're going to go the extra mile for you. But it wasn't that because we're going to lower our rates. It was a day to Davdin Lach, is that we did it with the condition that we're going to do avidu tashapirta. We're going to do good work for you, high quality craftsmanship. That's what, but we're not going to charge any less. And therefore, that's the chiddush. In this case, according to Abdesa, even though the Yad Poyel Mal Tachtin, they have the lower hand, still, even if they're begging the owner to finish up the job, he still has to pay them according to the original higher price. Then Abdesa continued and said that Sela, if what still left to be done in the job, the owner could finish for the original pay. He can get a worker to finish up the other half for a seller. So in Nishlehem, then he gives to the original workers what they had done, a seller. So that's pretty obvious. Again, as we had asked this question on the Tanakhama too, that's what they're going, that he could finish off and he could pay them what they had originally made up. Why would we think otherwise? So Amrav Hunda Berid of Nasni says, Loit Tzricha, no, it's necessary in the following case. The Zilu Inu, this is again the inverse of what we said by the Tanakhama. The zilu inhu gabei zuzu meikara. Originally, when they started working for him, they actually lowered their rates because they were the inverse of the previous for the Tanakama. They were desperate for work, and he wouldn't be willing to pay what their rates were. So they lowered for him a zuz. Now ulasayif zalavidita. Now subsequently, when they were backing out, the price of labor went down. Now that's why he could finish off the job for a seller. Because in actuality, at the time that they had made their original condition, half of the job would actually have been costed more than a seller. But when they had made up with him the contract for two slime, it's because they were desperate and they charged him less than the going rate. Now, when it's going to cost the rest of the job a seller, it's only because really it would have costed him more than a seller to finish off the other half, but because the rates of labor went down. So Mao the Tamer, we would have thought to say that since Reb Deisa holds that Yad Poel Al Tachtayna, the worker has the lower hand, that he could tell them, Batzer Zuza Amrisali, you promised me that when you're gonna you guys made up, you're gonna work for me. You promised me you're gonna charge me a zuz less than the going rate. Now Batzer Zuza Yahavina Lachu. So therefore, I'm gonna now give you a zuz less than the going rate. Meaning everybody now only charges a seller. So now, for the work that you did, which was half the job, which was the seller's worth, I'm going to give you a zuz less than that. Kamash Malan, that's what Reb Deis is teaching in this case. No, that the Amrile that they could tell him, no. Kia mar nalach bebatz zuz. When did we promise you we're going to do the job for you a zuz less than the going rate? Was the lahav a kimlach? Was when you couldn't have gotten anyone to do the job for a seller. Now, we saw that you're a very difficult person. You weren't going to pay more than, you weren't budging more than a seller. So we were agreeable to go down from our rates, from everyone's rates, to go down less than a zuz from the going rate, to go down to a seller to do work for you. But hash the kimlach. But now you can't get anywhere less than a seller because that's where you agreed to us to do for a seller. In other words, we would not have done the job for you less than a seller. The inverse of what Tanakama had said in this case, that we weren't promising a zuz less no matter what the market value, we're going to go a zuz less. No, we weren't going to work for less than a seller. Now, the going rate would have zuz more. That was, we were saying, look, for that amount, you couldn't have gotten anywhere. Then we'll say we'll go cheaper for you. But now that everyone's a seller, we wouldn't go a zuz less than that. And therefore, for the work that we did and what we made up for you, we weren't going less than that. You got to pay us a seller for that work. That was the Gemara's elucidation of that machlekes Reb Deis and Tanakama. So Amaravi says, halacha Reb Deis, halacha fazer Reb Deis, that again, Yad Poel al ha-tachtayna, he has the lower hand, and therefore the owner has the upper hand in regards to what the payments are now that he backed out. Now, the Gemara asks, Umiyam Rav Hachi, did Rav really say this, that the Yad Poel, the worker really is not allowed to back out? If he backs out, he gets the lower hand of the negotiations? But V'amar Rav said a different halacha. He said, Poel yochel achzeh b'yafel b'chatzayim. A worker could back out even halfway through the day, and he could get paid for his services. So you see that he does have the upper hand. He's allowed to back out. So why, how could he say like Reb Deisa that the worker has the lower hand? Now, says the Gemara Bechitam, and if you're going to say that Shani Leila Reb Deisa bein Schiris, that there's a difference for Reb Deisa. Yes, Rav holds like Reb Deisa, that the Yad Poel, usually the worker has the lower hand. He's not allowed to back out. But there's a difference between Schiris, which means to say something that gets paid per day, not for the job that he does, lekablonis, to someone who's getting paid for the job, meaning, by schiris, then you have the reasoning of Rav, that you're allowed to back out, as we mentioned before, because avadehim v'leavadim l'avadim. Jewish people are not slaves of people. Yeah, although he makes up to work for you for an extended period of time, he could back out in the middle of the day. But bekablonis, that's not being a slave to anyone. That's being a slave to himself. Reb Daisu is talking about a case of kablonis, like we learned in the Mishnah, and like we learned in the Braisa, the kiblu kamaliktzer, is the case that they were discussing, was he accepted a job to finish off the reaping of the field. So that's where Reb Daisu says that yad poel al tachtayna, because that's not a slave. But Rav is talking about schir yoyim, a guy that's a worker, that's a guy who is enslaved to the other person for however many hours, could be his whole life, that he committed to that person. That's where he has the upper hand. On that, asked the Gemara, Mishanile, does Reb Daisu really differentiate? In other words, he doesn't. Therefore, the question is difficult on Rav. Because what Tanya learned in the Braisa as follows. Hasoich ha-sapoil, if someone hires a worker, or l'chatze ha-yoyim, halfway through the day, shama shemes le-mes, he hears that a relative of his died. Or yishach zosechama, or he got a fever. No. So im sacharhu, so if he's a daily laborer, he's getting paid by the day. So as we continue to talk about days, nice chari. So he pays him for the work that he did, because since it's an oinus, something beyond his control, so we don't penalize him and to make him that he has the lower hand and that we would have to give him only according to how we can finish up the job. No, you give him the amount of work that he did, even though now it might cost him more to finish up the other half of the day. That's if he's a sacher. Im kablanhu, if he's someone that's getting paid for the job, you pay him for how much he did for the job. So we don't penalize him if it was a situation of oinus. So says the Gemara Mani, who is the Tana of this Braisa? Ilim Rabban, and if you would say it's the Tana Kama, the Rabban who disagree in Reb Daisa, my ear Yeshama Shemes LeMeis, why would then they would say that Halacha is specifically if he hears that a relative of his died, or or that he got a fever where it's a case of the Anis, that he's an Anis that's beyond his control? What do you mean? Kilei Anis Nami, even if it wouldn't be an Anis also, Ham Rabban Yad Pailal Yaina. The rabbis say, the Tana Kama says, that the worker has the upper hand, he could always back out even if it's not an Anis. Elolav Reb Daisa, so what do you have to say? That the Braisa is Reb Daisa. Now, Shema Mino, what you can infer from the Braisa is from the fact that it said that these two cases have to be talking about a case of Einis, that you could infer that if it wasn't an Einis, then not. Then he would not get paid for the work that he did, meaning that he's not allowed to back out, even though one of those cases is not just a Kablan, but also a Schiris. So obviously you hear that Leishan and Reb Daisa bin Schiris LeKablanis. Obviously Reb Daisa does not differentiate between Schiris and Kablanis, and that always he's not allowed to back out, which is not like Rav, who said that a worker could back out through half the day. So how could Rav said that Allah is like Reb Daisa? So Amram Nachum by Yitzchak, he says that in truth, Rav is like Reb Daisa, because Reb Daisa does differentiate between a Kablan and a Sachar. And that is, Reb Daisa agrees that by a daily laborer, that he has the upper hand. Like Rav, that he's allowed to back out, he's not a slave to another person. So why then did he pick a case of oinus by a sacher? So that's where Reb Nachum Yisrael comes to say that actually even the Rabbanan, who normally they say that you could always back out, would agree that if it was not an oinus, he could not back out. And for sure then that would be the case by Reb Daisa. So why would that be? Don't the Rabbanan say you could always back out? Why would they agree it has to be an oinus? It's because this Bryce is talking about that doesn't say who it is, so we thought, oh, it has to be Reb Daisa. Say no, it's like actually like the Rabbanan too. Because it's talking about bedavar ha'avid, by something that would be a loss if the work doesn't get done, and bedivar ha'kol. And therefore it's going according to everybody, even according to Rabbanan, because here where the worker is not allowed to back out, because if he backs out, it's going to cause a loss to the guy that he's paying, and therefore even the Rabbanan would agree that if it's not an einus, it's going to be the lower hand for the worker. Because the whole machlekes Reb Daisa and Rabbanan is only when there's not a davar of it. So therefore again, we have Rav, who is like Reb Daisa, by the case of a kablan. You're right, if he backs out as a worker in non-situations of einus, then he's going to be the loss of the worker. But by a sacher, by a daily laborer, then Reb Daisa would agree that he could back out even during halfway through the day, and that he would get paid the work that he did. Thereby an einus is only because it's talking about a davar of it. Davar Avid is a different type of halacha, then you're not allowed to back out because it's going to be a loss for the guy who hired him. Now, however, the Gemara continues to ask, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah that said, Kol HaMishana, whoever deviates from what the contract was, Yada Al Tachtayni, he has the lower hand. And so to another halacha, whoever backs out of the contract, Yada Al Tachtayni, he has the lower hand. So it says the Gemara, that's how our Mishnah ended off the first Mishnah in our Perek. So the Gemara says, "Bishlim mekalam hashanu yodei al tachtoino." We could understand what does this in this vague statement of whoever changes, whoever deviates, he has the lower hand. Our Mishnah is coming to say, "Desasim lontanik Reb Yehuda." Our Tana was saying a general statement without attribution, because to say the halacha is like that, like Reb Yehuda, who there's a machlekes in Baba Kama Daf Kufim Beis regarding a case of when someone asked a dyer to dye his wool red, and he ended up dyeing it black. Where actually the Gemara on Daf Ayin Chesam Beis next Daf is going to bring this machlekes, so that the Tana is coming to say like Reb Yehuda that he has the lower hand, and depending on the expenses or regarding the increase of the value of it now, whatever it is, that worker, that dyer gets the lower hand. But what's the next case that the Mishnah concludes by saying, whoever backs out, he has the lower hand? What's that coming to include? What's that general statement coming to say? Says the Gemara, isn't it coming to include a case of even a daily laborer, what's called a schir yayim, or krib daisa, and to say like krib daisa? In other words, because the beginning of the Mishnah says the word umnin. Generally, the craftsman sounds like a kabbalist, someone that gets paid to do a certain job. Now, on that, the Mishnah told us that yada al tachtoina, that if he backs out, he has the lower hand. As we said, the Tana of our Mishnah is like a b'daisa. And the Tana then concludes and says another statement. Kalacha is whoever backs out. So we already spoke about a kabbalim. What's that coming to include? Obviously, it's coming to include a payel, meaning a schir yayim, and to say that even there he has yada al tachtoina, which is finding that we see the Reb Deisa hold not just by a kabbalim, but even by a schir yayim, which therefore back to the question again. How could Rav say halach is like Reb Deisa when he says that a schir yayim could back out halfway through the day? So El Rav, the Gemara says, you're right. Reb Deisa tarti kama. Reb Deisa says his halacha that the worker has the lower hand by both a payel and a kabbalim. But Rav, sabala kava say b'chad, but Rav holds like him like one, which is regarding kablanis, and that's where he said halach is like Reb Deisa, upal gila b'chada, and he disagrees with him regarding the other one, regarding a schir yayim, regarding that he holds that avadahim le'avadim lavadim, that a schir yayim could back out through halfway through the day, and he has the upper hand. That's one approach. Ibaisim, or if you want a good answer from the question of our Mishnah, that when the Mishnah said kalachayze b'yoda al tachtayna, whoever backs out has the lower hand, it's not coming to include the case of a schir yayim. That the Torah actually is lenient regarding a schir yayim, like Rav had said. So rather, who are we being stringent on when he backs out? That's like the Tanya, like in the Brisa for a different halacha. The Brisa says, Kol achayze bo keitza. What's the case of whoever backs out that he has the lower hand? So the Brisa says, Harei shemachar sada l'chaver be'elav zoz. If somebody sells his field to his friend for 1,000 zoz, Now, the buyer, the purchaser, doesn't have all the 1,000. He gives him 200 out of the 1,000 zuz. So, says the Braitse, when the seller wants to retract and back out, now that already 200 of it was paid, yad lekech el yoyna. So, the purchaser has the upper hand. Now that the other one was backing out, what does it mean he has the upper hand? So, he has the choice. He has the prerogative. Either you could tell the seller, okay, fine, so give me back my money. Give me land proportionate to the money that I have paid you. And moreover, says the Braisim, Hechem Megveyu, from where could the purchaser collect his debt of the land from? It's Mina Idis. It's from the best of the land of the seller. 200 zuz worth he can get from the best of it, which Gemara later on is going to explain what's the reason, why does he get from the Idis, from the best quality fields that the seller has. Now, but however, when the purchaser backs out, so then the seller has the upper hand. He has a choice. Either he can tell him, okay, he'd take back your money, or if he wants, he could tell him, no, you can't back out anymore. You gave already 200 zuz. Take land proportionate to the amount of money that you paid. Now, where could he make him collect from? From the lowest quality, from the inferior fields that he has. So this is what the Gemara is saying. No, we could even say that Reb Deisa agrees to Rav that only by Kablan would it be Yodel Tachtayna, but by Schir Yayim would be Yodel Yayna. So what does the Mishnah mean when it says Kol Achayzer Yodel Tachtayna? It's coming to include this case regarding a sale. Whoever it is that backs out has the lower hand that the other one could tell him either that you have to take from the lower fields if the buyer backs out, or if the seller backs out, that he could say, I want to get it from your best fields. That's a Tana Kama. He says that no, Malamdin Oysen, we teach them, whoever is purchasing a field, but he doesn't have all the money to pay it, he only has some of it. So we create a situation beforehand that to provide Shalayachzru, that no one should back out. Okay, so how do we make sure these this pre-contract agreement to make sure that the seller can't back out anymore. So Kaisav Loi, he writes to him, look, Ani Plaini Beplaini, I am this person, the son of that person. Mecharti saw the plainness leplaini be'elav zuz. I sold my field to that person for 1,000 zuz. V'nosli mehem musayim zuz. And he gave me 200 out of the 1,000 already. V'hareini neisha boi ches meye zuz. And now I am a creditor for him. He's my debtor for a value of 800 zuz. Now by doing this contract, he has essentially turned the rest of the money that's owed into a milva, into a loan. So it's as if the buyer already bought the whole field and that he lent him 800 zuz and the field was already purchased with that money of the 200 zuz. So that's what Reb Shimon Gamliel says. So then kana, now the buyer has already bought and acquired the whole field. Then he can pay him back the rest that he owes him. Even after many years, the seller can't back out anymore. We do that to make the situation, avoid the situation that the Tanna Kamma was discussing. But again, we explained how the Reb Deisa could be even like Rav. Now, the Gemara clarifies, Zamamar said in this price that we just quoted, that in the opinion of the Tanna Kamma, that if the seller backs out, Mehechen Megveyu, so where does he have to pay to the buyer if he chooses the land and not the money? Meaning he just has to give him from his best field. So the Gemara says, Kasag Daitach, the assumption of the Gemara originally was, what that means to say is, Me'idis in the Chasav. That is, if let's say he has better fields than even the one he was selling to the buyer, he has to give from his best fields 200 zuz worth of what he's backing out from those fields. So the Gemara asks, but for lo yehei, this lekeach, the consumer, we won't treat him lightly. Ella, rather, even if you treat him severely, meaning that lekeach, you give him a real strong upper hand now that his counterpart, the seller, backed out, but he shouldn't be more stringent than a bal chayv, than a creditor. Because at most, he's a creditor. That's what's owed to him from his seller who's backing out. It's not, and yet we learned in Mishnah Masechtas Gittin that says, bal chayv dina bebeinin is a creditor. His halacha is, when he comes to collect from his debtor, he's going to get from beinus, from the intermediary fields. And that's actually an improvement. Because generally, really, he should only get ziburis, the lowest quality fields. But since we're concerned that if the lender is only going to be able to collect from the lowest quality fields, it's going to close the door from lenders. It's going to say, hey, why should I lend money? The guy's going to pay him back his junk fields. So therefore, we up it to bainness. So therefore, the Gemara's question is, this guy shouldn't be any better than a collector. Why are we saying that he gets the idis fields of this meicher who's backing out and not just bainness? Void, moreover, asked the Gemara, ha'ara de'yav zuzi, but what do you mean? There's the land itself that he gave money towards, let him be able to give him 200 zuz worth of that field. Why does he have to give him from his best fields? The guy was buying this field, and then the seller's backing out of the rest, but at least let him give him 200 zuz from that field. So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he says, you're right. That's what the Braisa really means. Me'idus shebo umi'ziburis sheba. When we say that if the seller backs out, he has to give him idis, or if the buyer backs out, he could make him take ziburis, it means from the best or the inferior of that land itself. One land could have different parts to it. We're talking about that land itself. So you're right. He doesn't collect from his idis. It's all talking about this field. And moreover, yeah, it is this field. It depends. But however, what part, whoever it is that backed out, the Tanna Kamma said, which we explained for the Halacha of our Mishnah, to say that Rav can be like Rav Deisa, is Yad Al Tachtoina. Rav Acha Breidev Ikom, he says, you could even say, as we had assumed, that it's talking about that the seller has to give him, not even from that field, from the best of his fields, 200 zuz worth of what he's backing out from. The reason for that is because Stam Manda Zavan Arba Alfi Zuzi, a regular guy, who if he has to buy such a huge tract of land that's so expensive that he's paying 1,000 zuz for that, most people don't have that amount of capital, of cash around. Only if Azuli Maizulu Mazvin Nixa, you know how what happened? This guy had to sell his car, he had to sell his lawnmower, he had to sell his small pieces of land, he had to sell different pieces of property at a cheap price so that he could have liquid cash to buy this field for $1,000. Now, when the seller is backing out, it comes out, Vahavali Kinizig, this guy is not just a creditor, he was hurt now. He was damaged through the guy backing out. You know what I just did? I sold my other pieces of property for less than the value just to get money to pay you. With Nan, and we learned in that Mishnah Maseftas Gittin that although a Baal Chayv gets Beinus, Hanizakin Shomalen Be'idis. A victim, he gets to collect from the one who caused him damage from the highest quality fields of the damager. Like the Pasuk says, Shmoshech Beis, Meitav Sedei Yerushalmi, has to pay him the best of his fields when he damages someone else. Here he's considered like a victim, and that's what he actually gets, not just from that field, but from the best field that the seller who is backing out has. Now, that was the opinion of the Tanna Kamma, which is why we introduced this Braisa to explain for the Halacha of a Mishnah of Yad al-Tachtayna. But Yosef said that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, he said, Melam din oisin shalo yachzer. No, we teach them, the buyers, how to make a situation that no one could back out anymore. So he said, Ketzad, how so? Kaisav loy, we have the seller write to the buyer after he gave him 200 zuz worth of the 1,000 zuz. He writes, Ani plainib ben plainib b'chulu, me, the son of a son of so, I got 200 out of the 1,000. Now I'm a creditor for him for 800. So it's like he already acquired it. And now he just is like an outstanding loan of 800 zuz. And therefore he can't back out. Ask the Gemara. Time of the Kasab Lehachi, what it sounds like from Shimon Gamliel, is only because he wrote such a contract where then he transferred the sale of what was left still at 800 zuz into a loan. That's why he can't back out. But it sounds like from Shimon Gamliel that if he didn't write such a contract, then the buyer did not acquire the whole field yet, and then the seller could still back out. On that, as the Gemara, but Batangla in the Braisa, Shimon Gamliel seems to contradict this, what's quoted from Shimon Gamliel. The Braisa discusses the following case. If someone gives security to his friend that regarding that he's going to make that purchase, and he tells the seller, if I back out from this contract, my security is forgiven to you, you could keep the security. Now, and the seller doesn't want to be outdone. He says, look, if I back out, not only will I give you security back, I'll give you double your security. So says the first opinion, says the conditions are valid and they both have to keep to their word what they had made up regarding the security. Now the Gemara explains Rabbi Yisrael Tamei, because Rabbi Yisrael goes according to his opinion elsewhere, the Amr that he says, Asmachta Kanya, that is to say, when someone makes a guarantee, even in an exaggerated form to his friend that he should rely on him and say, don't worry, I'm going to do what we're making up for, if he doesn't fulfill his condition, he actually has to give that amount that he had made up. So that's Rabbi Yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, he disagrees, he holds Asmachta Loi Kanya, he says, Dayai, it's enough, Sheyikne Kenegar Ervainai, that he should acquire it correlating to the amount of the security. In other words, the buyer does not forgive his security, and the seller does not have to double the security if he backs out. It's just that neither one is allowed to back out from the amount of the sale correlating to the amount of the security, but they could back out from the rest. So let's say the security was $200 and the sale was $1,000. So then the security does not... It's not a valid condition that they made because it's not leikanya, but at least it acquired that much of the field that neither one of those could back out from that amount. But they don't have to keep the conditions that they made up. Now on that, Reb Shimon Gamliel, he qualifies and he says, "Bamed v'amrum." When did we say this halacha of Reb Yehuda? That, however, that they could back out, and the only thing that they have to commit to and keep to is correlating to the amount of money that was given of the security. That's bizman, that's at a time when the buyer gave that amount of money in the beginning in through the format of an eruvin, of a security. But not that like it's the beginning of the payment. He wasn't paying, it wasn't a forward, but the beginning of the payment. It was just a security. It wasn't a deposit towards, it was security. It's where he said that let my security acquire for me everything. Now, the thing is, it's obviously not acquiring everything because the seller is not making the price of this $1,000 item for 200 zuz. So he's not selling everything for that 1,000. So that's where Rabbi Yehuda said that it's going to acquire at least keneged mo'esav. However much he gave for the security, that's how much of the field it acquires. And that they can't back out, but the rest they could back out from. So that's where Rabbi Yehuda's halacha was set. Avamachalei saw the be'elav zuz, but says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, if he sold him the field for 1,000 zuz, v'nosloi mehem chamesh me'ezuz, but if he gave him 500 zuz out of the 1,000. So that's obviously not just a security. That already is the beginning of the payment. He paid him already half the amount. So then what happens is that the rest of the money that's owed for the field becomes as a milva, as a loan, as a debt that he owes him for the other half. And therefore, kana, in actuality, by paying half the amount, he already acquired all the field. Therefore, he could pay back the rest. Even after many years, the seller cannot back out, even though the buyer only paid half, even though he didn't write him a contract, the seller to the buyer, that I'm turning it into a milvah. So that contradicts the previous halacha of Shmuel Gamliel. Shmuel Gamliel in the first one that we quoted said that no, until he pays everything, it's going to be considered that not a total kinyan. And only when did we say he can't back out? If he writes to him that he's transferring what's owed for the sale into a milvah. Here he doesn't say that. Here he says even if he just pays him half, even if it's not written that he's turning it into a milvah, that he can't back out and it is a milvah. So do you have to write that or not? That seems to be a contradiction in the opinions of Shmuel Gamliel. Says the Gemara Lekasha, it's not difficult. Why not? Ha, this that we learned in the first brisa, that if he doesn't transfer it into a milvah, that then he could back out, is talking about the ka'ayil, that the seller is going v'nafik azuzi, and he's chasing after the lekeach to give him the rest of the money that he owes him for the sale. Now, behaviorally, what that shows us is that the reason why the seller sold the field is because he was desperate for money. Now, since the whole reason why he sold it is for the money, and the buyer is not giving him all the money that he's desperate for, so with that intention, he wasn't selling it for. And therefore, it's not going to be a sale. He could back out until he gets all the money. But the second brisa that we quoted from Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is the loy ka'ayil v'nafik azuzi, where he's not chasing after him for the money. He already paid him half the amount, so then it's a full kinyan. And therefore, because he was willing to make the sale. Now the rest is owed to him like a milvah, and therefore no one could back out anymore, and the buyer could pay him back even in a few years from now. The Amar Rabba, like Rabba said, he said, Haiman de Zavin Midi Lechabri, if someone sells something to somebody else, v'ka'ayil v'nafik azuzi, and he's chasing after him for the money, then loikani, until the guy gives him all the money, the buyer has not acquired it. Loikai v'nafik azuzi kani. But if he's not chasing after him with the money, then if as long as he gives him part of it, not just as a security, but already part of the payment, then he's acquired it. Now automatically the rest is a milvah, even without writing it into a transfer of a milvah. Another related halacha in this topic from V'amar Rava. Rava says, Haiman de isve meya zuz l'chari. Someone lent 100 zuz to his friend, upari zuzu zuzu, like in previously where it's in pieces, doesn't pay it all in back one shot, he pays him back a zuz at a time. Says Rava, piroin hava, it's considered payment, he paid him back what he loaned him 100 zuz, but el de isle tarumis gabez, we've been learning that tarumis, having complaints, having tines against someone, is a halachic requirement in certain situations, meaning you're not allowed to just have tarumis, you need to have validity to have tarumis. Such a case, he says, that the lender could have tines, could have a complaint against the borrower. Because the Amalei, he could tell him, Afsadisinu minoy, you caused a loss to me. When I have a $100 bill, so $100 bill, it stays where it is. If I have quarters and nickels, it ends up going, the kids take it, and end up putting it to the pushka. It was lost from me, and therefore, he says, look, I lent you 100, you should pay me back 100. You pay me back a dollar, it's going to get spent in the quarter, in the dollar machine, in the soda machine. So therefore, again, it's considered he paid him back, but he could have tarumas against him. Now, continuing related theme, Ahu Gavra, the Zamanli Chamer L'Chavi, there was a certain person that sold a donkey to his friend, Upashle, but it was still left by the consumer, Chad Zuzu, one Zuz, that he didn't pay him up for the donkey that he sold him. V'ka'ayil v'nafik, and the seller was constantly chasing that guy, the buyer, Azuzu, for that one Zuz that he didn't pay him for the donkey. He had almost all the money, he says, oh, $1 I don't have, I'll pay you. And the guy was chasing him, where's that dollar? So Yasser Rav Asher became Ayin, but Rav Asher was sitting and was analyzing this case. Kihai Gavna, in such a case, when there's just one zuz that's owed to the seller, my, what's the halacha? Do we say that he could back out, as we said previously, that until all the money's paid up, he could back out? So Kani, Oiloi Kani, has the consumer who bought the donkey acquired it or not? Do we say that maybe he didn't acquire it because he didn't pay up all the money? So Amalei Rav Mordechai Rav Ashi says, Hochi Amar Avimi Magruni Mishmei Durabi. He said in the name of Rava that this halacha that we said previously, until it's all paid up, he could back up. Zuza kizuzi dami b'loi kani. One zuz is like many zuz, and he hasn't acquired it because until he pays up, meaning in the case when he's chasing after him, we see that his whole purpose was selling it because he needed the money. He needed every penny then, that means to say. And it doesn't make a difference if it's $10 or $1. If he's chasing after him and not all of it was paid, he'd be allowed to back out. Now that the Gemara asks only Rav Acha Barid, Rav Yisrael, Rav Ashi says, but v'har minan mishmei de Rava kani. But we have a version that says in the name of Rava that he has acquired it. So what's the halacha? When there's just one zuz that wasn't paid up, is it not kaina like you said? Or is it like our version has from Rava that he is kaina and that he could pay him back the zuz even a few years from now? So Amalei said to him, it's not a difficulty. To Targum Shemaitecha, you should interpret your teaching that you have the name of Rabba that he has acquired it. But Meicher Sadeh was talking about a guy who sold this field as a continuing type of Ayin Chesem and Aleph, Mimnei Ra'asa, because it was a bad field. So in such a situation, we testify that the reason why he's chasing after him is not because like Rava had qualified because he's desperate for the money and therefore until he gets every penny he could still back out. No, the reason why he's chasing after him to get that last dollar out of him is because he wants to be quickly done with the deal that the Lekeach can't back out. Not because him. He's okay. Actually, I just wanted to get this off my hands. And therefore, even though he's chasing after him to get the Zuz, he can't back out. And the reason being is because he did agree to the deal. And the reason why he's chasing him is not to show that he, as if we see behaviorally, that he really was doing it all for the money. No, he wanted to get rid of it. He just wants to make sure he gets all the money out of Lekeach before Lekeach realizes, and he says, this is a terrible feeling. I want out. He wants to make sure he gets all the money and that Lekeach can't back out.